Yeah, God, we just join with heaven, with the truth that you are the God of miracles, that just even as I read in the scriptures just a moment ago, that the fact that you bring about a miracle when you take that which is dead and you bring it to life, that which is in the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light, incredible miracle. Thank you for the gift and miracle of salvation, of new life, of new identity in Christ. But Lord, we also just thank you that you're a God who does incredible miracles beyond what we can even imagine. And Lord, as a church, we just want to be a church that echoes the truth of heaven. That's who you are. And may you do that here today, that we would know that we've been with you, that we wouldn't just talk about you, talk a big game, but we would actually encounter the living God who is a God of miracles. Bring about new life. Bring about fresh encounters with you. Align us with heaven today. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Well, good morning. Yeah, a couple of you up there awake with me. Hey, it's such an honor to be with you this morning on this weekend. I hope you're having a great weekend. Today is a really special day for my wife and I. Now, 13 years ago today, we became parents, and so you can be praying for me because we officially today become parents of a teenager. Special prayer time after service for me and my wife here. No, we are so excited to have a 13-year-old son, and so if you know Jace, you see him around the church today, make him really embarrassed because he's a really introverted kind of kid, and so go up and give him a high five and tell him he's incredible because he is. Man, I hope you're having a good weekend and enjoying the summer sun and enjoying all the things that have to offer what we're outside and enjoying things. Today, I want to continue to talk about this idea of what it looks like for us to follow Jesus more than just a Sunday morning. And, you know, I've shared that, you know, easily in the Western culture, we can have the sum of our faith end up being an hour on Sunday morning. And I just don't see that in the life of Jesus, the message that he shared, or even when we look at the rest of the New Testament, we look at the early church. Like the early church, they gathered together, man, to stir one another up, to encourage one another, provide for one another, to help people that are in need. But then they went out in their communities, in their cities, and they demonstrated and proclaimed and expressed the kingdom of God, the truth of heaven, as they walk the earth. And so that's what we've been looking at. What does it look like for us to go into our workplaces, for us to go into our homes, for us to go into the community, to go into politics, to go into any sphere of influence that God has gifted us with? What's it look like to yield that to him and say, as we go into that, we want to express heaven. We want to express the kingdom of God. What does that look like? And so we've been taking week by week to do that. Today, we're going to tackle a bigger topic. And so I'm going to give you a heads up ahead of time that we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures. And there's probably no way, unless you won a couple sword drills back in the day, that some of y'all don't even know what that is. That's good. But if you looked up your Bible, Nathan, you're really good at sword drills, aren't you? But don't feel like you got to flip to all the scriptures. You can just write down the address and look them up later. I'm going to have them on the screen. But I do want you, if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 14. If you have your phone, grab your phone, open up the Bible app like I was using earlier, and you can get to John chapter 14. Today, I want to lay some foundational work today. And then I don't want to just talk about the subject today. I actually want us to give a chance to actually put into practice. And so at the end of the service, we're going to have more of an activation session where we're going to actually see God do some incredible things in our midst here. And so today, I want to start out by saying something that I want you to write in your notes. This is the beginning, this is the foundation of where we're going today. Number one is that God's heart or his will is wholeness. God's will is wholeness, or wholeness is God's will. That word will means desire, okay? So this is where we're going to, foundationally, where we're going to go from today. Everything is going to build upon this, that God desires for wholeness. That's his heart. We see that from the very beginning with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. There was complete wholeness. They were whole with the relationship with the Father, walking in the garden with them. They were whole in their relationship with one another. They weren't arguing. They weren't putting each other down. They were whole in their physical bodies. There was no sickness. There was no death. They were whole even in their relationship with the earth. They were there to cultivate it, to subdue it, to use it for the glory of God. And so there was wholeness in the garden. But we know the story. Most of us know the story, that at some point, Adam and Eve, they kind of wanted to go their own way, and they kind of got a little deceived, and then they separated, and brokenness came into the world. That separation led to brokenness. And so now you and I, we live in a season of brokenness where this disunification, God is trying to bring back and restore it. Now the beginning was wholeness, and where we're going, just if you want to know, where are we going as a people, as a kingdom community, where are we going for eternity? We're going to back to wholeness. This is God. This is the story, the arc of the scriptures, from the beginning wholeness to the end wholeness. And Revelations 21 tells us a little bit about this. Where are we going? What is eternity going to be like? And I'm telling you, it's going to be filled with wholeness. This is what Revelation 21, 3-5 says. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And so this is the future tense of where we are going as followers of Jesus. We are going to a land of wholeness. Wholeness with the Father, for sure, but also wholeness with one another, wholeness in our bodies, wholeness in our relationships, wholeness in our thinking. This is what eternity is filled with. It is filled with wholeness. This is the will of God, the desire of God. But in order to get there, we got to recognize that, man, we currently live in a season of brokenness where things aren't right, where things are not new, because Jesus says, one day I'm going to make all things new. I'm going to restore all things. That means that there's some things right now that are broken. Can we all just agree with that in this world? Man, not everything is perfect. Not everything is whole. And so Jesus says, this is the future tense, but how do we get from brokenness to wholeness? Here's what I want you to see, is that the heart of God is for healing. How do we get something broken to something that's whole? The path to get there is healing. This is the beautiful part about Jesus. When he died and he rose again, what did he provide? He provided a way for us to be restored back to the Father. That which is broken has been made healed. We have been healed. Incredible truth. But it's not just that. I believe the heart of God for wholeness is also in our bodies. It's in our relationship. It's in our marriages. It's in our workplace, in our finances. God longs to bring about healing and wholeness in our life. This is who he is. This is his heart. And as we think about this, we then have to look at Jesus, because Jesus, one of the chief reasons he came to this world was to reveal the Father's heart. Jesus walked this earth, and as he spoke, and as he lived, he was in every act and every word revealing what the Father is like. This is what Jesus did. And we see this in John 14. So if you're there, we're going to pick up here. John 14, starting in verse 8, says, "Philip said to him, 'Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us.'" He's like, man, Jesus, if you would just show me the Father, God, like, that would be enough. Maybe you've been there. I've been there. I've said that to God. And then Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long?" Anybody ever said that to your kids? Yeah, right. Yeah, somebody's like, yeah, come on, preach there. "Have I not been with you so long and you still do not know, Philip?" Somebody's resonating with that. I can tell you as a 13-year-old dad with a 13-year-old. He said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." That's incredible. I'm going to read that again so we don't miss it. He says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or else." So he says, believe the words I'm saying, believe the things that are coming out of my mouth. He says, "or else believe on account of the works themselves." Now this is interesting, right? We see here that Jesus says, I am representing the Father on this. Everything I say, everything I do is to represent the Father. And he says, believe me based on the truth that you've heard. Like, you've been in the synagogue. You've heard me teaching out in the streets. You've heard me around a table speaking of the Father. And your soul has resonated with that. Believe me by what I say. But he said something interesting. He says, but if you don't believe just what I've said, believe on account of the works that I've done. Now we see this tandem in Jesus' ministry. It's not just proclamation. It's not just speaking life like we talked about last week, but it's also demonstration of the kingdom of God. It's using my words to proclaim truth, to speak life over somebody. But Jesus always coupled that truth with this incredible expression of the kingdom of God. And one of the most specific ways that he did it consistently was by healing the sick, healing that which could not walk, healing the person that had a disease and was an outcast. Jesus healed these kinds of people in order to demonstrate the kingdom of God. And what we see is that healing, physical healing, is one of the ways that we actually can experience the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to hear this again. Jesus says, if you don't believe the words I've said, then look at my works. One of the consistent works that Jesus did was healing the sick. And what I want you to see is that physical healing is one of the many ways that we can experience the presence of God, the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God on this earth as it is in heaven. Because I told you what heaven's going to be like, right? No more tears, no more cancer, amen to that. No more divorce, no more family drama. Save that for your mama, not your father in heaven, but your mama, right? This is what heaven's like. And so when we experience physical healing, we're actually tasting heaven. We're actually getting a taste of what is to come into eternity. Now, I love this teaching of Jesus and how he says, if you don't believe my words, just at least look at the works that I've done, because I think this is what I believe the Spirit is doing in the churches all across the world. You know, God loves to work in seasons, right? Man, there's a season where he pours out his favor on a certain type of ministry or certain way of doing things. And then, you know, in his way, he's done over history. He kind of says, okay, that season is done. Now we're moving on to another season. And so as I talk to pastors across the country and go different places in the world and hear people that travel around the world, this is what I sense happening, is that God is doing a new thing, which, by the way, is deeply biblical. God is always doing a new thing. But the new thing that he is doing is he's moving away from just really great communication tactics and lights and sounds and a talking head that's usually, you know, leading the church and all these bells and whistles. And he's moving us out of that season into a season where more and more people are going to encounter God in power and love. And we're seeing it even in our own church happen and all over the world. And I think it's good, because this next generation, this generation that's coming up, man, they don't want all the bells and whistles. They want to know, can I experience God, really experience him? Is he real? Do I just have to believe the words he's saying, or can I actually experience him? This is what Jesus said. And you and I think this is encouraging, because the world wants to actually encounter God, not just hear us talk about him, right? Man, God gives us so much grace that we can talk about him, and people will come to this church, and many of you came to this church because somebody told you. But I think what the world is hungry for is an actual encounter with God. And I say that because when I was growing up, I always had this dream of going on a safari. Anybody else have, when you're a little kid, say, man, I want to go on a safari? Like, I love to think about Africa, like all the animals out there. I even had this little matchbox car. It was actually not a car, it was a Jeep. It was that safari kind of tan color. It had a little sign of a little line on the side. And I would play with that thing all the time and imagine going around the bush in Africa. And then I'd watch National Geographic shows that my dad probably shouldn't have let me to watch, but he let me. And so, you know, I would get so into these things, and I always had this dream of going to Africa. And so I had this understanding of Africa. I had this understanding of this world that I had never been to, because I had read from what other people had experienced. I'd learned from watching videos. But in my mid-20s, I was invited to go on a mission trip, kind of last notice. A guy dropped out and they said, hey, if you can get a plane to Kenya through Ethiopia, like, you can go with us. And so my wife graciously said, yeah, you go. She knows my personality. That's what I love, just spontaneous, let's do it. So I got on a plane by myself, flew over to Africa, and had this incredible encounter with God, with these people that were refugees, and got to minister and got to learn from them and got to eat dinner and break bread in their home. And then at the end of that, though, the leader of that organization, he said, you know what, I've got a best friend that's runs a safari. And I'm like, oh yeah. Jesus, man, your work is great, but safaris, come on, right? And so he's like, hey, you know, it's going to be minimal cost. You guys just pay, I think it was like 400 total bucks for two nights in like a crazy, incredible place in the middle of Masai Mara in Kenya. And I said, let's do this. And so I had learned about it. I had studied. But then when I finally got in that van and they raised the top, you know, the roof, and it's up here, and I'm standing up, and we're driving all around. We're seeing giraffes fly by and massive herds of elephants and zebras like whitetails. I mean, it was crazy how many were out there. And then we saw a leopard up in the tree, and then the culmination of it is we had this group of six of us. We drive down, and we get down to this little stream, and six female lions had cornered a water buffalo. And so from me to about you, Max, maybe a little further, about this far, we saw these six female lions kill this buffalo. I'm gonna tell you, it was another experience, right? See, on National Geographic, they have music that covers up a lot of the sounds. Women were there crying like, whoa, no, and they were like hoping somebody would save him. This thing's like flipped up with his legs up. I'm like, save him. I'm like, no, that's dinner time, baby. Let's go. And so, but as I was there, I was recording this on my phone. This is way, or not my phone. It was my digital camera. You guys remember those digital cameras back in the day before we had phones? And my legs were shaking because so much adrenaline, because I'd never been that close. And I'm going to tell you, my understanding of a safari was dramatically different after that experience. Because I'd been there, because I had experienced it. And I'm telling you, that I believe is what God is ushering in to his church, what he's ushering into this world, that we're not just gonna be a people that talk about these things that God does, we're not gonna talk about, man, Jesus does these things and we're supposed to do it, hypothetical things. No, we are gonna be a people that actually experience the things of God that we read about in the scriptures more and more, and we have been more and more in this church and all over this community. Now we should ask the question, how did Jesus do what he did? If Jesus revealed the Father, how did he do what he did? And there's this verse in Acts chapter 10, you don't have to turn there, but if you wanna write down something, I'd love for you to go look at this. This is when Peter is talking to the Gentiles and he's proclaiming Jesus to them. And in the middle of this message that he gives, he gets to verse 37 and verse 38, and he gives us some incredible truth here. This is what he says. He says, you yourself know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning with Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing, there's that word healing, all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, there's some nuances in the scriptures that you read. So, you know, sometimes we see Jesus' name is just Jesus. Sometimes it's Jesus Christ, which, by the way, is not his last name, just if you didn't know that. Jesus Christ. But then there's sometimes that we see this specific naming of Jesus. It says Jesus of Nazareth. Now, why is that important? Because whenever you see the author write Jesus of Nazareth, he is really honing in on the humanity of Jesus. You know what he's saying? He's saying this was a man who actually grew up in a real town. And so wherever you see in the scripture, it says Jesus of Nazareth, the author is trying to convey the humanity of Jesus. So in this text, he says that Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Spirit to do what? To reveal the Father. Now this is not a minor miss if we read this. Like, we can glaze over this, we can just go along our business, but this is not a minor miss. What we see here is that the author is saying Jesus was a man, everybody say man, human, anointed by the Spirit to heal and to walk in power in order to do good. And you know what that means for all of us as Jesus followers? That means when we read the Gospels, when we read what Jesus did, what he said, he is not only our Savior, but he's also our model of what it looks like for us to continue as we go his ministry. And it puts everything on the table. And I'm gonna tell you, it's a lot more exciting this way. Because if we say Jesus did all what he did as God, guess what that means? You and I, we definitely ain't God. And my wife will say, amen to that, right? Like, ain't God, man. No godness in me, right? But here's the incredible thing. Jesus did what he did as a human being with the Spirit of God on him, led by the Spirit, under the power of the Spirit. And you know what Jesus said? That we would receive that same Spirit. That same Spirit would reside in us and on us in order that we could continue the ministry of Jesus. That means we can do what Jesus did. And it changes everything. It changes how we view things. It changes how we think about things. It changes what we think that's actually possible. Jesus walked the earth under the power of the Spirit. Now you say Jesus was human, Derek. Well, wait a second, I thought Jesus was God, and he is. So can we all just say amen to that? Like, Jesus is God. Amen. Foundational, like, we're not gonna get off that. Jesus was always God. He will always be God. Never was there a moment that Jesus was not God. We read this in Colossians. Go read Colossians this week, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 15 says that he is the image of the invisible God. Verse 18, it says the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 says he's the exact imprint of the Father. Jesus was fully God, okay? Can we all just take a deep breath there? Okay. I need to take a deep breath. I'm really worked up here. But not only was he fully God, he was also fully man. This is what we see Philippians 2, and I would invite you to study this week to really understand the depth of this teaching. Philippians chapter 2, Paul is writing from a jail in to Philippi from a jail, and this is what he says. He says this, "Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself." Everybody say emptied. Emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Do you see the power of this verse? What this verse is saying? It's saying, man, Jesus was with the Father from eternity. I mean, he spoke the world into existence. Holy Spirit, Father, Jesus had been there all the time. They always will be. But Jesus didn't keep that place of authority as something to be grasped, but he stepped out of heaven and came a man. And he emptied himself. He fully submitted himself to humanity. And I was trying to think, even last night, how do I convey that? And I was just thinking, like Jesus walked the earth and he never used his God card. Or remember that I think it was maybe Office Max had that easy button. Remember that button? You know, if you had a punk, you know, employee, they probably gave you that and said, it's easy, right? And so Jesus never pushed the God button because he emptied himself and submitted himself fully to humanity. That means he got hungry, that he felt the weight of what he was called to do, that he got tired, remember he was sleeping in the bottom of the boat, that he was a man in every way you could be a man, yet still fully God. We don't really understand it fully. But what we see is that the way that Jesus walked the earth, he did as a man, focused on the Father and filled by the Spirit of God. And that gives all of us hope as we go into the world that we can be focused on the Father and filled up with the Spirit of God. Now, as we go into the world, this healing idea, I want to show you one more text in John chapter 14. So if you're still there, we're going to read just a little bit past this. So Jesus has just said, man, if you don't believe me but what I said, then look at the works that I've done. And then this verse that really is going to challenge us, verse 12, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father." Is anybody else, does that mess with anybody else besides me in this room? Jesus, the one who has four different books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, capturing his life, who did a lot of incredible works, he says, you're going to do the same thing if you're a believer. And not only are that, you're actually going to do even greater. Is anybody else that mess with your head? Yeah, thank you. Somebody else, right? Like, so what is he talking about? When he says greater, what does he mean? Well, there's two ways this word can be translated. It could either mean like greater in like amplitude, like wow moments. Like you could do some things that are even greater than what Jesus did, which, you know, is pretty hard to beat, but probably, you know, but there also is another word that means just the quantity. That we'll actually do actually more works as a collective church than Jesus did when he was doing his ministry for 3.5 years walking the earth. And I don't know about you, but that gets me really excited. Gets me really excited. Now, as we go and as we think about, man, what's it look like to heal? What's it look like to pray for somebody in my office that says they just got some diagnosis or they got a headache and you pray for them, offer to pray with them? So here's what I want you to know, that revealing the Father requires risk. Every time, any kind of revelation, any kind of revealing that you do, whether it's through words or demonstration, it requires risk and it's probably going to cost you something. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, man, there was a lot of risking. Man, he risked himself in crowds that wanted to throw rocks at him and kill him. He risked sitting at tables where, you know, nobody else in the religious groups would have ever wanted to sit with these people. And ultimately, it cost Jesus. It cost him some followers sometimes. It cost Jesus ultimately his life. And as we follow him, this is the invitation, reveal the Father as you go. Reveal the Father. And here's the thing, it's going to take a risk. And here's the risk, the biggest risk in the room. You're like, Derek, I see the scripture, like you've tried to unpack it, speaking really quick today, I know, but you've tried to unpack what we're talking about and what Jesus is, but Derek, here's the thing, man, I here's the risk. What if somebody's not healed? Can I just tell you, I've prayed for hundreds of people and they've not been healed. I get the risk. But can I also tell you that I prayed for people and the power of God's come upon them and healed them completely? And at the end of my life, I don't want my story to be, I never prayed for somebody to be healed because I was worried that they wouldn't be healed. I prayed for people and asked God to heal them, and some were healed. You see, this is the tension that we live in. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. He came declaring the kingdom of God is at hand, but yet the same Jesus that came is coming again. Can we also agree with that, right? Like, that's the foundation to our faith. He came, he's coming again. And we live in this tension where it's already, the kingdom has come, but it's not fully here, not yet. And so we live in this tension as we walk this earth, already but not yet. So sometimes, man, we pray for somebody's marriage and God radically works in their life and they say yes and their marriage is restored. Sometimes we pray for somebody for physical healing and, man, God's power comes upon them and he heals them, and sometimes we don't see it. This is the tension that we live in. And it's a risk, but I'm gonna tell you, it's worth it. And I'm gonna tell you, as a church, we don't wanna be a church that just talks around these things. We wanna be a church that actually is open-handed and wants God to use us and work through us. That's why we have our first Tuesday prayer where we gather together, and anybody in the community wants to come and receive prayer, we'll do it. That's why we have our prayer ministry team up here. That's why we encourage our small groups to pray together, to pray over one another, because we believe this is the lifestyle of a follower of Jesus, that we pray expecting that things will change, asking God to heal. And here's the good news about it. You don't have to have a PhD or a seminary degree or know all your Bible to do this. This is what he says. He says, if you believe, believers will do these things. And I'm encouraged because my little daughter, how old is she now? She's almost 10 now. I should know that. She's almost 10. And when she was about 5, though, her little brother was sick, had a fever and was sick, and we had to go somewhere the next day, and so we really needed him to be healthy. And so we asked our family to pray for this little boy, and, you know, at first, I think as any sister, she's like, no, I don't want to pray for my brother, right? Like, you know, you guys know that if you have kids. But finally, she did, and she began to sing a prayer out to Jesus, and she began to dance around the bedroom and just sing. And it was a beautiful, I think, expression of faith. And as my daughter was doing that, as she finished up, we checked on my little boy, and the fever had completely broken, and he wasn't sick anymore. And then I think about one of our prayer nights we had here on Tuesday. We had we have different stations here where we pray for people, and over on this left side, close to you, Warren, there was a chair, and there was a couple praying, and this mom and the daughter came in to receive prayer for the daughter's shoulder. She was a cheerleader, but she had some injury, and she wasn't going to be able to cheer, and the doctors actually told her that she was going to have surgery. And so they came just, hey, what if God wants to heal me? And as they were sitting down in a chair and we had 3 or 4 people praying for them, she began to feel some warmth on her shoulder and her muscles started to twitch. And she was like, what's this? She'd never experienced the power of God like that before. And as she was doing this, there began to be tears. And after they were done praying, they had her test out her arm and it was completely full range of motion. You say, well, that's good, but what about the doctor, Derek? Well, here's the good news, is that doctor who had already done an MRI saw her right after that, expected to send her to surgery, but saw her and was befuddled on why she didn't have the same symptoms that she did before. And he's like, I already said you need to get surgery, so probably liability-wise, I'm not gonna tell you to go back, but I'm gonna send you to another doctor who's never seen you to check you out, to release you. She went to another doctor. That doctor said, there's nothing wrong with you. And that girl was back cheerleading that Friday. Encountered the presence of God through healing. Listen, God still does miracles. He's never changed who he is, his character, his desire. His desire is always for wholeness. If not in this earth, for eternity. That's who he is. And so this morning, we're gonna have our prayer team actually come up front right here. We're gonna sing one last song together. And this summer, we're gonna have our ministry time in our last song. And so we're gonna sing a little bit lighter from up front here. I'm gonna invite you to go ahead and stand right now as I talk a little bit. We're gonna invite our prayer team up here. And as we sing this last song, here's the invitation that I have for you that I want you to consider, man. Is there any pain in your body? Man, is your left pinky toe hurting? Do you have headaches? Do you have a shoulder? Do you have a back? Do you have some kind of condition? Did you get a recent doctor's report? What if God wanted to bring healing today to your body? What if he wanted to reveal his heart for you today? And so as we sing, we're gonna have lots of people up here praying. First service, man, we prayed for people. Oh, it was nonstop, it was beautiful. But here's what it's gonna require from you. It's gonna require you to step out of your seat, to humble yourself a little bit, and to not worry about what other people think of you. Because really, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Like, do you really want to be healed? That's what Jesus asks people often. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? And so if that's you today, you have anything wrong in your body, listen, we're inviting the Spirit of God to move in power just as he did with Jesus, that you would experience. So if you're up in the balconies, don't let that be an excuse. Man, we got stairs you can come down on. We're going to sing this last song together corporately. And as we are, man, step out of your seat and come with expectation that God will touch you today, that he will minister to you today, that he will bring healing to your body. So don't delay. Come and get some prayer as we sing this song.